You are listening to the Slow Living Podcast, and I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day. What if I told you that you could truly have the life of your dreams, the life you've always wanted, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose? It's absolutely possible, and I see it each and every day with my coaching clients. It all starts with learning how to slow down. You deserve to live the life you've always dreamt about. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on episode 133 of the Slow Living Podcast. And I am thrilled to have my friend Lori Palau with me today. Lori is the host of the This Organized Life podcast and the owner of Simply Be Organized. And Simply Be Organized is with the letter B, because you don't need to have that many letters when you're trying to get organized. So Lori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is so fun. I know we were just saying right before you hit record that the last time we talked when you were on my show was like a year ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, like time flies, man.
It does. And the good news is I'm more centered now than I even was a year ago. So, and one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on is on your show, and I do listen to your show, you talk about the Enneagram a lot. And my friend Sandy Cooper talks about the Enneagram a lot. And so when you had asked me, do you know your number? I said, yeah, I think I know. And then I had talked to Sandy and I said, I'm a four. And she's like, you are not a four. So what does that all mean? And how did you immediately peg me and Sandy peg me?
Oh my gosh. And well, first of all, I'll have to connect up with Sandy. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. That's for sure. For anybody that's not familiar, I'll try to give like the very Cliff Notes version. So essentially the Enneagram is a personality typology. So a lot of people are familiar with Myers-Briggs or DISC or StrengthFinders or the four tendencies, people's love languages, all different types of personality typology. So the Enneagram is rooted in what your unconscious motivation is. So in layman's terms, it's the why you do what you do, right? And there are nine core types. And the Enneagram has a lot of different layers. So the more you peel back, it's like, there you go. But what really drew me to the Enneagram, and I've always been somebody that's fascinated with personality typologies of any kind, just kind of learning like a little bit more about self-discovery and how it can not only, what it reveals about me, but also the people in my life, relationships, my spouse, my kids, coworkers, whatever. But what really drew me personally to the Enneagram was the fact that it looked at the why. And so much of what I do professionally with organizing is always like looking at what's beneath the clutter, what's beneath the pile of paper, the laundry. And so I just started going down this sort of rabbit hole, if you will, of trying to find sort of connection points of what is your Enneagram, like what does that reveal about you? What does it reveal about your relationship with organization and clutter? And so that's kind of the lens in which I use the Enneagram. What I love about it is if you kind of Google Enneagram, you'll see Enneagram in parenting, Enneagram in relationships, all these different ways that you can apply it. And for my purposes, yes, it does encompass all those things, but I've really kind of funneled it to, in my work, to how does that relate to your desire for a more organized life?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think what you did makes so much sense. And with the women I work with, depending on their personality type, sometimes they beat themselves up because they didn't do it the quote unquote perfect way or the right way. And other people are like, whatever, just rub some spit on it. You're fine. And, a piece of me would like to be a little bit more calm and relaxed, which is why I probably am fascinated by slow living and peace. It's because I am my own best student and, I hunger for this. And it was so interesting because when I scored myself, I was a type one, which is pretty perfectionist-y. I had the thought while I was taking your test, well, Steph, if you don't like the answers, you're just going to do it over again anyway, which is like, no kidding. Like I'm so wired that way. But you and I had such a soul to soul moment a year ago, because at the time I had had some panic attacks on and off
and I was trying to do a lot of shifting in my life. And then my oldest was going through some realization that she had ADHD. And I know your daughter had ADHD. And then I have markers of ADHD. And the day that you and I talked, you were just so kind. And I just burst into tears because I felt horrific that I didn't know that my own kid had like markers of ADHD and ADHD, because I missed it. She did great in school. She did all these things. And it wasn't until college and everything kind of crumbled down. But you just talked to me mom to mom, and you made me feel like I hadn't failed. And I just have such a like spot in my heart for you. And then because you're just amazing and wonderful, even though it would have made great audio, you cut the whole thing out because it was a little like too vulnerable. So thank you.
And that I'll play the fifth one on that. That was that was my producer. I get hands off after the content, but that just warms my heart, because I think as moms, we have a tendency, regardless of whatever your Enneagram type is, right? We have a tendency to beat ourselves up. I know I do it. I have two grown-ish kids. They're 20 and 23. And so I look back and I'm like, wow, I totally swung and missed at that, you know? Yeah. And we're all resilient. And I really believe, and I have to remind myself of this as well, we do the best we can with the tools that we're given, whether that's tools that we developed or tools that were handed down to us. I think there's the majority of people out there really, really want to serve their kids well. They want to serve them, their community well, and be the best version of themselves. And what I love about the Enneagram is that it reveals your blind spots. And we all have them. And we all have different strengths and struggles is what I refer to them, right? I don't like to call them necessarily weaknesses, but pick whatever language you want. We don't know what we don't know. And so if you are used to just going through life, kind of thinking this is the way it is, and as somebody who's a perfectionist, somebody who's constantly got an internal critic that's beating themselves up and telling them they have to do better and revise and all the different characteristics and nuances that are kind of attuned to your type, that's just how you operate. And until it's like the light is shown and you're like, wait, there's another perspective that you can then, I say, add another tool to your toolbox. And it's like developing a muscle that just is it being used. And so that's what I love about the Enneagram in particular, is that it allows you, it gives you these tools and allows you to have some grace and empathy. And I think through that process, there is a little bit of grieving of like, wow.
Oh yeah.
I was not the best version of myself. But again, that we're humans and we're all learning.
Yeah. I think so. In the framework that I teach, it's mindset plus action plus consistency equals success. And what happens is when you don't know deep down inside who you are and how you tick, which is the mindset thing, you start actioning. You're like, oh, I'm going to download this PDF and it'll fix it. Or if only my husband did it this way and followed this particular recipe, it will be fine. And by recipe, I'm not talking about a crockpot recipe. I'm talking about like, quote unquote, how to be a perfect husband. But knowing who you are before you bring in these other variables that you can't control is so just amazing and important. And that's why sometimes this cleaning checklist or this eating plan or this workout plan, it just literally doesn't work. And it's not because you did something wrong. It's because it's not aligned to how you tick and how you think and how your body reacts to things. And it sounds silly because sometimes you're not actioning when you're taking the time to really deep dive and get to know yourself. But that's where the momentum growth happens. That's when a few years from now, you look back and you're like, I don't even recognize myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can just kind of piggyback on that, I think there you said a couple of things that really stuck out to me. And I'm all about action, right? I'm a doer. by nature, like I'm a doer. And in the Enneagram, to oversimplify, right, is we make decisions one of three ways: thinking, feeling, doing. So we all have within your Enneagram type, and there's the nuances of all the types. And I'm going to just, for people that aren't familiar, in the spirit of time, we're going to link to like a freebie that gives you a summary. I call it my Enneagram cheat sheet. So it goes through all the types. It talks about kind of some overarching things about them. So if you're not familiar, don't worry about it.
Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes and it'll take you directly to Lori's quiz, which is honestly, I've taken a lot of quizzes, Lori. I like yours the best.
Oh, you're so sweet. But I think really what I want people to take away is regardless of numbers, types, whatever, we all make decisions through either thoughts, feeling, or action. And depending on who you are, you lead in one of those areas. And one of those areas you use the least. And so for me, when it comes to organizing, that was like a light bulb moment, because I'm somebody who's a doer. I don't really use feelings. I'm an Enneagram 8. They're like the take charge, do it people, shocker. And for me, I am very process driven. That's just kind of how my brain works. And I don't bring emotion into the decision-making a lot. And when it comes to organizing, that serves me very well because I don't get hung up in that feeling. But for a lot of people who really do make their decisions more emotionally based of how is this going to affect other people, whether it's sentimental or guilt. And there's all these other things. And I talk a ton about emotional clutter being a real bottleneck for people in taking action. That was like game changer, because it wasn't an excuse, but it gave such context and clarity for me to go, okay, so I get it. Your decision making isn't based in logic. It's based in feeling. It's based in emotion. So the strategy of just do one in, one out is never going to work for you. It's going to be counterintuitive. So we have to find another way to get you there. And it doesn't mean that if you're someone who's like overly feeling, that means you're destined to be disorganized. It just means we have to apply different rule book. So it's no different than the ADHD. And you learn this just through my own experience, which I've talked about vocally with my daughter's permission. She's been, you know, she's an advocate.
She's been on your show.
She's been on my show twice. She's an advocate for other kids with ADHD. And I learned as a mom way before I knew the Enneagram that like the strategies that I'm implying in my life and that work with my one daughter, not even close to working with the other one. Yeah. So I had to get a different, like, a whole different framework. And so that's, I think as parents, that's really important. And the other thing that I wanted to say is the one word that keeps coming back for me when it comes to when people talk to me about clutter, organization, all the things, is shame.
Yeah.
There's so much shame that people feel when I'm trying this and it's not working. And I think we can apply that in our world in so many different ways, even outside of clutter and organization. If you are trying to practice an instrument or practice a sport or pick up a new skill, and you are just trying this one way and it seems to be clicking for everybody else and it is not clicking for you, it's natural to think, what's wrong with me? I'm a failure. I can't do this. I'm just going to have to wave my white flag and say, well, I guess I'm going to have to miss out. And my whole goal with anybody who wants to live an organized life is like, listen, I love the Container Store as much as the next person and a beautiful Pinterest, perfect, whatever, but it's got to be deeper than that. It's too shallow for that to be your why, right? Yeah. It has to have some other meaning. And so I'm not trying to make it overly important, but it's got to be the freedom that comes from, just like with slow living, right? You want that inner peace, that inner calm, so that you can do all the things. And so I want to remove that shame barrier. That's why I call my book Hot Mess, because I said, we're all a little bit of a hot mess, and clutter for people is so for so much is their dirty little secret. And it really doesn't have to be.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. It's really interesting. I'll get on calls with someone and then they feel like they have to confess that they have boxes that they haven't unpacked since their move 12 years ago. And I'm like, so I have that box, but it's on a shelf in the garage and it's not bothering me. Like eventually, probably I'll open it, but it's not like, I think that's going to be a retirement thing. And I'm okay with it because I happen to have the storage for it and it's fine. So what part of you feels like you have to unpack this? Like, why do you have to? And obviously if it's in the middle of your living room and you're tripping over it, it's one thing. But if you have the space, like there's no rules. And I think, and it's not our fault. We're raised of, well, what's going to be on the test and how are we going to pass this? And how are we going to get the A and all of the gold stars? And then you're just kind of thrown out in the world. And when you're adulting, like really the secret is everyone has their own little game that they're playing. And I want you to keep your eyes on your own paper. And in yoga, we talk about keeping your eyes on your own yoga mat. Like you are literally doing you. And that's kind of scary when all of a sudden you realize like, uh-oh, you are the adult in the room. You are the mom. And what does that mean?
So I agree with you so much. And it's so hard. It's easier said than done, right? Because we have these, all of these visual distractions at our fingertips for better or worse, right? So you can look to say, hey, I'm struggling. My kid was just diagnosed with ADHD and you can go to the internet and find
the internet,
right? And you can find wonderful resources to help you, to make you feel less alone, to give you guidance and perspective and resources and all the things. You can also go to those same places and walk away feeling like you've bombed at life. You've let your kid down. You failed as a mother. So it is a both and it's having that intentionality to shut it off and recognize like what I'm taking and what I'm not taking. And I always tell people that box is only a problem if it's a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me to come in there and say, you know, this is an issue. I mean, of course, if you have a safety issue, that's a separate thing. But for me to walk in and judge your pile of papers is not for me to do. That's none of my business. If you invite me in and say, this is stressing me out because I'm constantly, you know, paying late fees and I can't find what I'm looking for. And I wind up snapping at my kids and things are falling through the cracks. Well, now that is a pain point and we need to address it. But if you've got your system and it isn't stressing you out or you have that unopened box, listen, I'm always going to err on the side of less is more and trying to remove anything unnecessary. But if your life is not being impacted negatively by that box, then prioritize what's important to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really interesting. I say that in general, our house is quote unquote company ready within 30 minutes. And 30 minutes is actually a really long time because it's probably only a few, because I would straighten some couch cushions and fold a blanket or two and it's fine. And the idea of if I run into someone at the grocery store or at the coffee house, I'm like, you want to come back to the house? Like, totally fine. I won't be embarrassed. Yes, you can use my bathroom. It's fine. Hey there, are you looking for an easier way to meet your goals without sacrificing your ethics or morals? If so, you're going to want to check out the new masterclass I recorded on how to achieve more by learning how to slow down. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but I promise you that this is a proven system that works. If you are ready to finally meet your personal and professional goals without sacrificing yourself or your sanity, check out this new recording at stephanieoday.com/masterclass. Okay, back to this week's episode. But also, I want to point out that if you are bringing people into your home and you think they're judging you, like that's some red flags. We got to pay attention. I don't want you to be around people who make you feel bad about yourself.
Totally. Oh my gosh. 100%. And most of the time I find it's fake news that we're telling ourselves. Most of the people are making those judgments on themselves based on something that they're seeing two-dimensionally in a screen of, oh, I'm looking at somebody's Instagram highlight reel. I'm looking at a blog of this is what somebody does for a living. You know, I tell people all the time, I mean, my house is organized. I know where things are, but my house isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Yes.
I don't pretend it to be. And I don't spend 5 hours a day cleaning my own or organizing my own house. You know, I work with clients, helping them to do that and teaching them strategies, but it's not, it is, again, it's so that I want people to be able to practice that hospitality. I love what you said that I can, you know, have somebody come over and feel comfortable. I've talked to so many people that are like, I don't want to have people in my house because I'm embarrassed because of this. And my goal is I want you to be able to help shift that so that you don't have to apologize. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be embarrassed. And whether that means, okay, maybe your house is a little bit more disorganized than you would like it to be. Okay, let's put some stuff in practice. But also, let's readjust the bar that you're setting for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also people are quick to label themselves negatively, like, or I'm just so disorganized. I'm so messy. I'm a hoarder. Like, chances are you're not actually really a hoarder if you rewash your Ziplocs and you have a drawer of Ziplocs. Like, no, that's actually a really good idea. You're not a hoarder. So let's kind of calm down a little bit and give yourself some grace.
Wait, do you rewash your Ziploc bags?
Oh, I do.
You do? How many times? Yeah.
Until they fall apart.
Okay. Hey, good for you. If that makes you happy and it's not impacting your life, go for it.
No, it's not. So, so you know, like the old school baby bottle, plasticky rack thing with a little thing. Yeah. So yeah, they're great for rewashing Ziploc bags. Not raw meat. That's disgusting. But yeah, like crackers, Cheetos, totally. Yeah.
All right. There you have it.
Lori. Okay. So everything you've said, I completely agree with, which is why we're friends. Is there anything that you have come up with the women that you work with or people who have gone through your Enneagram and they think like, oh, I don't fit this way. I am the anomaly. I do not fit a mold. And because of this, I cannot get organized.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer it kind of two ways. So when it comes to the Enneagram, for sure, and just again, very 10,000 foot view, there's 9 different types. Everybody's got their distinct characteristics. There's sort of a name for each one of them that just kind of explains a little bit more. And again, if you download it, you're going to get all 9 of them. It'll see like what they're motivated by and all the things. So there are certain types. So first of all, the beauty of the Enneagram is that it's fluid. So you always have your core type. That does not change. So just kind of like FAQ Enneagram. You always have one type that will never change. You can be like healthy in your type and unhealthy in your type. So you're picking up like the good characteristics and the bad characteristics. So like in my case, I could be a great leader or I could be really bossy. You know, I could be very direct or I can be very demeaning. You know, so it depends on, as I would tell my kids, are you using your powers for good or evil? So
that
is how the Enneagram is, right? So we can weaponize the good parts of us, which make it not good, or we can just really lean into our gifts. But what I love about the Enneagram, and you'll see it, is because the diagram is a circle with a triangle inside and then a bunch of inner connecting lines.
Yeah.
And what that represents as you go down the Enneagram, kind of go deeper into the Enneagram, is that you are connected to different types.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll be like, well, in certain situations, I seem like a this, and in other situations, I seem like a this. Well, that makes sense because as we move through life, as we go through different experiences, when we're stressed, we pick up characteristics of over here. When we are doing, you know, where we're thriving and we're in our zone, we pick up characteristics of this type. At the end of the day, our core motivation is what never changes. So it makes sense when people come to me and say, I'm not really sure. And so one of my defaults, which isn't 100% fail safe, but when I'm having a conversation with somebody and trying to help them figure out like, what is your true Enneagram type? I will always come back to what is the core way that you make decisions? Do you make it if, and there are some people that definitely know, they're like, oh my gosh, I feel everything. And there are some people that are like, oh, I'm in my head. I have to think it through. Some people aren't sure. And that's okay too. But I usually, if you know that off the top, then that will narrow you down to at least one grouping. And then it's like, okay, let's dive a little deeper into each one of those and usually be like, oh yeah, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. And so it's a sort of a process of elimination. And the value of knowing it is just, again, not so that you could say, well, I'm just destined to be disorganized or I'm destined to be a control freak. I know that this is how my natural pull is. We want to try to, I hate the word balance, but we want to try to recalibrate so that we can use all three of those thoughts, feelings, actions when we're making decisions.
I like that. And I absolutely agree with you. It's interesting because I knew we were going to talk about this. I threw it up on my Facebook page and I asked the people, I said, do you know your Enneagram type or your Briggs-Myers type? And what are your thoughts? And most people played the game and immediately start explaining or they wanted to know more. And then I had a few who are like, oh, it's pseudoscience. It's stupid. It's just like your horoscope. It's just like whether or not you're aligned with the moon and that kind of stuff. And it's interesting because I have my own thoughts when I see that kind of stuff. But I think in general, my idea is, and then we'll let you share yours, is if this feels off to you or skeptical or you think it's phony baloney, I don't care. Like you do you. It's literally just a tool to help you, if you want to, know yourself a little bit better. If you're already 150% perfect in all the ways, you're probably not going to listen to me anyway.
I say, so I'm actually really glad that you brought this up because it's something that I think is really important. And obviously, I'm super passionate about it. I'm super passionate about people not having clutter and like living their life so that they feel good about themselves with purpose, right? And then the Enneagram gave me a different kind of lens to look through. At the end of the day, it is not the gospel. It's not biblical. It is a tool. You use the exact word that I use all the time. You can go through your entire life never knowing the Enneagram and live a full, healthy life. However, for me, like you said, I don't make all of my decisions, but it's not like, okay, well, let me go to the Enneagram and see what it says, but it's given me clarity, insight. And then I've been able to take a step further to develop a framework regarding clutter and organization that has helped me with my own family, as well as with my clients. So if it's not for you, that's fine. It's just another way to look at things. And again, for me, from a professional perspective, it's allowed me to be better at understanding where my clients are struggling. It's opened the door for different types of communication and conversations that I wouldn't have had because I didn't look at things through that particular lens. And then once I did, I was able to allow them to feel seen, heard, and understood. And build that trust. So it's not, again, your life is not, it's not, I don't want to make it more over important than it is, but I will say it has really been a game changer in how I communicate, how I understand. And if I could just tell a quick story about.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush. And honestly, I could talk to you all day, Lori. Oh, so you're so it's sweet. Fine.
So my husband Josh, we've been married for like almost 26 years, and he traveled a ton when my kids were little. So I always said I was like a single mom with a paycheck, and he would leave before they got up in the morning and got home after they went to sleep. So I was doing all the things. And when he would come home, a lot of times I was just kind of cleaning up, whatever. And he would walk in the door, and before even like putting down his bag, he would start just picking things up. And I would get so offended because I took that as, what, you don't think I'm doing a good job? This was in my season when I was a stay-at-home mom, right? I've been a working mom, stay-at-home mom, the whole, all the things. And I'm like, you don't even, are you that, like, you're walking in the door after being gone for like 12 hours and you don't even have your backpack or your computer bag off and you're already picking up toys. And so I took that as a personal, like, you don't think I'm doing a good job. And in his world, he was being helpful. And he, which I came to learn later, as an Enneagram 3, who is the achiever, and they are very much almost like, I say they're like allergic to clutter. Like they don't like to see it. Doesn't mean that they're organized. Let me just be very clear, but they don't like to see physical clutter. It stresses them out. So he was doing this on autopilot, picking things up, because that was just his way of being able to come in and have calm. And I was interpreting that as, you don't think I'm a good mom, homemaker, whatever you want to call it. And it caused conflict. And then as I started to learn about the Enneagram and understand it, and it opened the door for me to have conversations with them and go, oh, wait, you weren't necessarily correcting me. And I'm air quoting, like you weren't correcting me. You weren't judging me. This was a you thing. It wasn't a me thing.
Yeah.
And I had not taken it that way. And he didn't necessarily have the language to articulate, this is stressing me out because of A, B, and C. He just knew it. And so his reaction was, well, I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to, you know, put it away, get it out of my face so that it doesn't stress me out. So we were both having this like different, like takeaway. It's like like the Rorschach test. Like we're looking at the same thing and getting two different takeaways.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wow, if I had known this tool, I wonder how much conflict that would have reduced over time.
I am so glad that you shared that, because we too have been married, not as long as you, but 25 years. And yes, I wish Steph of now could tell like early 30s Steph, it'll be okay. But you're just wired different. You're still compatible. You don't have to like match in all of the thoughts and all of the ways you do things. And when you know yourself and you're secure in who you are in your own authentic way of being, that's when you can see others with caring eyes, with thoughtful eyes and unconditional love eyes, because you then know you're unconditionally loving yourself. So then that helps you give more to others in this kind of I want to say forgiveness, but everything you said, I have related to. I have felt that way. I have felt judged. I have felt shamed and things like that. So yes, I think you are absolutely speaking my language, and I know everyone who's listening too.
Well, I'm glad. And I hope, again, wherever people are listening in their clutter journey, the clutter is just the roadblock. And that's what I say, you know?
So you talk about how it's a symptom a lot on your show.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's okay. Well, what's going on in your life? So I see this, you know, we see a recurring theme of whatever that is, fill in the blank. And maybe that is because you're overscheduled and you've got what I call calendar clutter, right? There's only so much, there are only so many hours in the day. And if you're constantly going and then your home becomes a drop zone, well, it's no wonder. It's because there are other things. If you are somebody who loves to shop, and I'm not judging anybody for doing that, and you're constantly buying, but the influx is coming in faster than stuff is going out, Well, then you can run into a volume issue because we have to kind of figure that out. So it's just understanding your, how you're wired and what your habits are. What do we, what needs to change? And it doesn't mean like, oh my God, you have to change everything, but it's what do we need to account for? What is the system? What is the strategy that is going to make sense for you in this season of your life with your lifestyle, whether that's your, a mom with little kids at home and you're like, I need to have things working like a well-oiled machine, or maybe you're an empty nester and you are like, okay, I'm in a different season now and I could focus a little bit more on myself, because for so long I was just running on autopilot with the kids. And, you know, so depending on where you are and what's going on in your life, you're going to lean into different places, and that's just natural.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Lori, thank you. Thank you for spending so much time with us. We will link to your quiz and to your website and to your hot mess book. I greatly appreciate all of the love and the wisdom you've shared today.
Well, thank you. And it's my pleasure to share with your audience as well, because I love all that you do. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. All right, Slow Down Society. Consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you are absolutely wonderful, and I will see you again, same time, same place, in your earbuds next week. Do you have a slow living story to share? Leave me a voicemail at stephanieoday.com/podcast with any questions, comments, feedback, or testimonials, and I will be sure to include it in an upcoming episode. Also, if you found value in this episode, please share it with your family and friends and subscribe through your favorite podcast provider. The more you share, comment, and leave positive reviews, the more people we can reach and share the slow living lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have an absolutely wonderful day.